Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
As Biggie Smalls once said, Mo Wagner, Mo Problems. It's the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. I'm your host, Don Denham. You can find me on Twitter at Don_Denham. With me, as always, is my fellow Mavs fan for life, my bro host, myself, my health and safety protocol, Ruben Tomas. How are you, sir?
I hate that. I'm so happy we used the Mo Wagner intro today.
Yeah, I mean, thank you so much for holding the fort down. You and Squish have been killing it on the pod. I've been out. I've been doing a lot of music stuff. I've been Mavs adjacent rather than being really involved in the season this season. So it's good to be back on the pod. I feel weird calling myself a host. I feel like I'm more like a rotation host. You know,
I think at this point we're all kind of rotation hosts because, some days Squish is on, some days you're on, some days I'm not on. So it's just, you know, it just depends on who's available, which is nice because we kind of have a big roster of guys who are down to record whenever we need to. So
it's much like the Mavericks, we have guys that are going to have good nights and bad nights that, you know, you're our Luca for the most part. It's like, yeah, we know you're going to probably be involved and, you know, you might be out with, some health issues every once in a while, but ultimately we can rely on you. I feel like I'm more, I guess that would make Squish KP.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Who would you be? I don't know. Like,
I like to think of myself as Dodo, but I'm probably Tim Hardaway, you know?
No, like, not Tim Hardaway. Come on, man.
I guess I am a bit more consistent. I'll think of myself. I'm gonna be a little less hard on myself. I'll say I'm more of a Dodo Maxi hybrid.
There we go.
Speaking of which, it's been good seeing him back on the court. I'm happy to see a block from the Dallas Mavericks. It's good stuff. It's good to see the Würzburg Vol back in action.
Yeah. But yeah, so this last week of games, we went in since last recording, since we recorded before Sunday's game, me and Squish did. Mm-hmm. We played the Bulls. I remember that we talked about it on the last podcast, mm-hmm. that, you know, we were thinking, oh, it's going to be really close. we played the Bulls. We thought it was going to be really close. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. We fucking killed them.
Yep.
And I think they're at full strength except I think they're missing Caruso still. Which made me sad because I love Caruso because he's a college dude, college A&M guy, college station guy.
Sure.
He looks again, like it. Yeah, he definitely, dude. I'm telling you, my fiance, my wife, she'll be like I'll be like, oh look, the first time I talked about him, she was like, oh my god, he looks like an Aggie. Like he looks like he's like in the agriculture like department at that college.
Yeah, Caruso wouldn't be out of place like wearing like camo shorts in like a A&M polo, or like
Sperry's. He just looks like one of those guys.
It's definitely like, all right, look at the NBA rosters, pick out the Aggie. Caruso's like first one to go.
Easy dude. But yeah, looking at this game, like, we got Zach LaVine shooting 33% from the field, which is great. 7 of 21. Nikola Vucevic, 6 for 17. That's incredible. You know, DeMar DeRozan, I think DeMar DeRozan is he's going to kill anybody no matter what. Like, he just reminds me, like, not so much of a talent level, but just, like, the shit that he's doing, like, reminds me a little bit of, like, Michael Jordan. Okay. Like, he's almost, like, a very poor man's Michael Jordan. Okay. He went 9 for 16, you know, from the field, and I was like, okay, cool. Lonzo Ball, 3 for 7, like,
I mean, like, he is the most veteran scorer on that team, and yeah. I would say he's got the most, like, offensive weapons. Maybe not the most physical tool, but, I mean, because, I mean, he hasn't, like, lost a step. There hasn't been a moment where I watched DeRozan and I'm like, oh, he just doesn't have that same Toronto Raptor pep. No, he's just as athletic as he has been. Same with the Spurs. And I feel like DeRozan going to the Spurs was like him going to training camp, because like he made a lot of dumb, like I never thought of him as that good of a player on Toronto. Like I always felt like he kind of underperformed, and I think like he went to Popovich camp and like really honed in a lot of his scoring skills. He makes just wiser decisions, yeah. I think. So I feel like he does a lot more, or he has a lot more to offer now. So yeah, when I see DeRozan having a good game, it's like, well, yeah, of course he did.
I mean, like looking like, obviously the Mavs that night, you know, Brunson just keeps doing his thing. I think we got to pay that dude in the offseason. I just think we just have to if we're not going to train him before I trade deadline this year. Josh Green had a fucking game, 8-for-10 from the field. Again, the Josh Renaissance has been so nice.
It's been nice to see him get actual playing time and make it look like he's not just a waste of a draft pick.
Yeah, and he's actually like contributing, which is like, yes, this is exactly what we need. I think this is one of Luka's first games back. I don't remember, but
I think so.
Oh no. But 8-for-23. I mean, it's, you know, he's going to get up the shots no matter what. 8-for-23 is a little concerning, but I mean, we won the game anyway. We won the game. What did we win by? We won by what, like 14? Kept them under 99 points. Like kept them under 100 points. Like,
yeah,
I can't complain really about this game. I mean,
I look at it this way. Like in the last, there's a lot of teams we've kept under 100 points that I don't think is an easy task.
Yeah, you know,
we kept the Nuggets 89, Warriors 82, like.
It's crazy.
Yeah, Memphis 85 when they've been just on fire recently. Magic. I mean, I don't expect the Magic to score 92, but
Magic scored the most.
Magic has scored out of everyone.
That's so hilarious.
Keeping those people under 100 points, but like to be honest, I feel like the 100 point mark is really not, like, if I see a game that's in the, you know, early hundreds, I'm like, oh, that feels more like in the early 2000s, whenever I would see a game that was in the 80s, you know what I mean? Like the final scores in the 80s, I would be like, oh, what a punch out, drag out game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's in the hundreds, that's kind of how I've adjusted that mindset.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so if we move on to the Knicks game, we'll talk about this very briefly. That game sucked ass.
Yes. I did not watch that game, and it sounded like I didn't miss anything.
Yeah, me and Squish were just like, what the fuck is going on? I think he called me in halftime, actually, and was like, dude, this fucking sucks. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
it was not a fun game for anybody. I mean, I don't know, man. Something about these Dallas games just make Julius Randle go fucking crazy. Like, he could be terrible for like a month, and then he just has that game circled and just decides
his game. Yeah, that's his get right game. Anytime he sees the Mavericks come up on the roster or come up on the schedule,
I mean, he really didn't get too right. I mean, like 70 points is fine on 6-for-17 is terrible, but I mean, like RJ Barrett, for whatever reason, like went off for 13-for-22 from the field. For 32 points, and it's like, fuck, dude.
RJ Barrett looks like a top five pick. Yeah,
that makes sense. You know, Mitchell Robinson looks great. I don't know, like, again, putting Dwight on him is a choice that I don't understand. So, you know, that is what it is.
I don't know why, like, he keeps coming up in trade conversations. I'm like, sounds like the Knicks could use him. Like, I mean, you know, like,
I saw something very interesting about Dwight going to LA, to the Lakers, and I was like, I don't know if we'd be able to like fandangle that, but that'd be interesting.
Wait, so us trading Powell to the to the Lakers?
Yes.
What does that do for the Lakers, and who do we want on the Lakers? I mean, obviously we want Rondo.
No.
Wait, Rondo's not even. No, he's not. That's how little I know about this current Lakers team. I just know they've been just, you know, dog shit the past month. Like, they've just not been living up to expectations
at all.
Like, yeah, it's like
since like the game against us. Like,
but it's like, and it sounds to me like they don't have like any consistent offensive production from what they're doing, and or last diagnosis I've heard of the Lakers, which I mean, this is my pro analysis on this podcast, is I think I heard someone talk about this rather than like seeing the games with my eyes and making an opinion for myself. This kind of feels like I'm watching a movie review and then just basing my opinion on the movie off of the review. Yeah. Anyways, tangents aside, it sounds to me like there's just no defensive role players on the Lakers. And that's kind of what allowed them to do what they did. Cause you could just have the top heavy, you know, LeBron gets his points, AD gets his points, and then everyone else just, you know, you're just not scoring on the other guys. You know what I mean? And then it allows everyone else to kind of focus on that respect. And it just sounds like there's just not that available, considering, like, you know, Caruso left, Rondo, say what you will about him, he's like, if when Rondo tries, he's a good defensive player. He's a good player when he tries. And then, yeah, so now they're just relying heavy minutes on like Taylor Horton Tucker. You know, like
who they wanted to keep over Alex Caruso. No, I was like, oh,
sure.
I was like, oh, that's probably not the move, but okay, guys.
Well, and tell you what, man, after watching the Wizards, which is like half of the rotation of the Lakers last year, you know, Harrell, who's, you know, maybe not the best defensive player, but he's at least tough. He will foul a dude, and he, you know, he's a great, like, amazing bench scorer. Like, that dude, like, he's great inside scorer. I love Harrell. I will always love Montrez. But it's like seeing Harrell, Kuzma, like, now that he's no longer in a Lakers uniform, I'm like, I kind of like him. Like, he's a pretty good, yeah. like
I love
3-4 stretch. Like,
he's, I buy his shoes. I love him. Like, wait, not on purpose.
What are his shoes?
He has he's sponsored by Puma and has a pair of they're like the All Clyde Pros, but they're like designed in his like certain way. So it's like, there's like a cool like retro vintage looking like Puma All on Clyde the
Pumas.
All yeah, right. Look at that, and like look at the mids. They're not really all mids, bro. They're like high tops, but they, I don't know. But
all right, All Clyde Puma Clydes Pro Kuzma mids. Okay, yeah. All right, yeah.
I can get
on these. Like,
I was like, why not? They're on sale. So I was like, why the fuck not?
They look reminiscent of like kind of almost like the old Converse.
Yeah, shoe. That's what I like. I think that's what I like.
Yeah.
Like old school. So but anyway, going back to the Mavs, next game we played the Grizzlies. Game none of us thought that, I don't think a lot of people thought that we were gonna win just because
right.
It's fucking, you know, the way that the Grizzlies play are just so fast paced.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get hot, they get fucking hot. I actually missed the first half of this game because I was on a date with my wife. Mm-hmm. So, and it's funny because I was like,
la-di-da.
Well, like we were at the restaurant and I was like, can I check the score real quick? You know? And so she was just looking at me. She was like, okay, go ahead.
Fine.
You know? Yeah. I was like, I promise I won't tweet. I won't do anything. I just want to check what the score is. We were down by, I think, like 14 by the time when I was checking, and I was like, this is bad. I was like, we can stay here as long as we need to. Like,
there you go.
I don't know if this is going to go good. And then on the way back, like, it was halftime, and she was like, we're like 1 point behind. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, let me get home. Great game. You know, looking at the stats, like, you know, looking at the stat sheet, of course, you know, Luka 12 of 22, Jalen Brunson 7 of 13, Dwight Powell, my God, 6 of 6 from the field. Just killing it, dude. You know, Maxey played a lot, didn't really get too many shots up. Dorian Finney-Smith, 5, you know, shooting 50% from the field.
Right.
You know,
I will say the thing that I mean, clearly defensively, we're just looking a lot better. And I think also we capitalized on just Ja having a rough game. Like, he really, like, the stats look okay, but like he's not. I mean, like, there was just a couple of plays where he just lost the ball.
It seemed like just he was like, trying to force it a lot from what I've
from what
I can tell. I was like, oh, dude.
I think this is one of those things that I think I'm starting to see it a little bit more in modern NBA games where it's just like, I think the Grizzlies like played down to us. I think they kind of like, oh, whatever, Mavericks aren't at full strength. Like, I think they slept on us a bit. And they've been feeling like, I mean, like they've been on an amazing hot streak. So, I mean, I can't really blame them. But I think they definitely played down to us. And then we're like, when they realize like, oh, these guys aren't really, they're not laying down for us. And they're getting frustrated that they're not, you know, beating the hell out of us, what they were probably anticipating. And then it's just like, yeah. And at that point it's, you know, it's getting a little chippy. And I mean, Kleber going, or, you know, Kleber and Powell doing their thing. I mean, that was a really great Dwight Powell game of all things. As much as he's on every trade block that everyone always said, like, dude did exactly what he's supposed to. Like, what's his contract? I'm going to look this up.
It's like 11 a year, I think.
Yeah, 11 a year, which is like, that's just above minimum for the most part. I mean, like, it's like twice as much as minimum. You know, it's. I'm not saying he is earning that, but like, ultimately, that he's doing exactly what he needs to do, and it sounds like he's really finding his place post Achilles injury.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not seeing the embarrassing Dwight games as much, which is fantastic.
It's great.
Very happy. Yes.
But overall, great game. You know, fuck FedEx. So
it's no Best Pro Shop, but
yeah, no. Looking at the Magic games that just happened last night, really out of, I mean, like, you know, KP coming back, that's awesome. Like, KP, yes, like, obviously, like, you know, trying to keep his minutes like below 30 minutes, which is like a good, I think it's a good number of minutes just to make sure like he's back and he's okay. Like, obviously, he doesn't have these health and safety protocols. Like, I know he's anemic, so that's probably why he was in there a little longer. Like, it just makes more sense.
I did not know Kristaps is anemic.
Yeah, like someone posted on Twitter. I'm so sorry if you're listening. You posted. I'm so sorry. Yeah, someone posted on Twitter that he's anemic, and I was like, oh shit. So I went to go check, and I was like, oh, he really is. Like, you know, I was like, oh, okay, that makes, you know, makes sense why he's out a little longer than others.
That means they're iron deficient, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like, again, Jalen Brunson, crazy game.
Yeah,
Luka Doncic, good game. You know, again, Kristaps 4-for-8 from the field, first time back.
I want to see like three less 3-point attempts from Luka. Like, just three less. Because I know a lot of these are just kind of like, all right, the offense isn't doing much. Some of them are heat check stuff. The article that came out about like Luka's like poor decision making, I thought was really interesting. Like, and it seems to be like, he's making less mistakes. Like, I mean, he had one turnover last night, you know, that's cool for a guy. Like, actually only had 3 assists last night, which is actually kind of bizarre.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize. Holy shit.
Yeah. That's I was like, that seems low. There actually wasn't a whole lot of assists. I mean, granted, so did Brunson. God, that's a weird stat line. Like Reggie Bullock, Brunson and Doncic all had the same amount of assists last night, which is kind of weird.
And we won.
Well, I think just like, you know, Magic are still a young team. Like, Franz Wagner's fun. You know, I like him.
Jalen Suggs looks awesome.
Yeah.
I like Jalen Suggs a lot.
Suggs is, you know, coming into his own. Cole Anthony is looking like an NBA player this season, which is great because he looked like a, like, what the hell is he doing? And also, like, I still think the Magic are in good hands with Mosley. Like, this is a get your teeth kicked in year for the Magic, and then you know, and develop, you know, get your next, because they don't have their, like, it's hard to call it that they have their core. Let's put it this way. If Mo Wagner and Terrence Ross are both putting in 20 minutes a game, you know, that's usually a good case. That's like, you know, you're still.
Holy,
you know,
shit. Terrence Ross only shot one time in 22 minutes. What the fuck?
And missed it. So, yeah, that's hilarious. If you were to ask me, like, who took 9 shots and missed them, that's usually, that's.
Yeah. That sounds
That sounds like a Terrence Ross stat line.
I mean, obviously, the big story from last night was, you know, Mo Wagner getting into it with with Luka, of all people.
Consequential.
Yeah, and it's, it's like you're down 20, like you're yelling about and one. And it's like, okay, like what the fuck ever. Like, I will say though that Mo Wagner is definitely becoming like an instigator in the league, because he did, and during the bubble, he baited Giannis into headbutting him.
Oh right.
And then Giannis got ejected. So I'm like, okay, cool. He has a little bit of history to, like, you know, pissing all stars off or superstars off. So
being a shit steer.
Yeah, I was like, that's cool, man. Like, whatever, do your thing, dude. Like, I don't care after the fact. It's whatever, bro. Like, you know, like,
word.
And like the way Luka reacted, like just making fun of it, like, okay, that's fine. Like, you gotta realize, like, he's a child that grew up with, you know, Fortnite and Call of Duty and probably has been in those lobbies, you know.
He definitely said, "You mad, bro?" And like, I just got transported to just like any time I've made the mistake of leaving my Xbox Live on and hearing like the children just scream at each other.
Great,
yeah. Speaking of which, I'm playing Halo Infinite, and I am awful at it.
I really need to get a fucking Xbox. God damn it!
That's fun. I've never
been a two console person, but I might just, you know, I'm an adult now. I can kind of afford it. So, like, why the fuck not?
Yeah.
Because I realized a lot of my friends have fucking Xboxes. I'm like, I thought everybody was on the PS wave. I guess not. But
it's just one of those things where it's just like that. I got an Xbox when I was, I think, 13, and I'm just stuck with it. There's like, I can acknowledge that PS5 is like the better gaming system.
Yeah.
But like, it's just, I've thankfully, to be honest, the best thing is just like cross platform stuff has been the best. Like the only thing I really play is like Rocket League and Halo at this point.
Yeah. So let's see the next.
So yeah, the Mets are doing great.
Yeah, they're doing great. You know, we'll talk about video games and not about, you know, how bad we are. Anyway, so next week we have Thunder. We're Thunder at home. We'll play Thunder at home. We have the Raptors. We have the Suns. And then if we want to include Sun next Sunday, we have the Grizzlies. So looking at that, I would say we should be going 2-for-2 probably.
That's probably a fair assessment.
You know, I think we end up just dropping Suns and Grizzlies, especially because Suns is a back-to-back game. The second half of a back-to-back, I don't see us, but Thunder, we should beat the shit out of. Raptors have been looking pretty good recently, but I just don't think they have it all together. So
with those games, I have the fear of them playing down. You know what I mean? Like, them looking a game ahead. That's the only, like, focus is like the main thing I'm worried about with this upcoming schedule.
Yeah. So yeah, I see 2-for-2, I think, is a pretty reasonable assumption for us. Anyway. Let's go ahead and get into questions. We got a few. This, I actually posted very late yesterday. I was like, whoops, I forgot to post this. So if you ask a question, thank you. There were some joke questions. I'm not even going to acknowledge those. Juan and who else? Someone else did it. And I was just like, I'm not going to acknowledge these. But cool. Let's see. First question comes from the Golden State Warriors Reddit account.
Nice.
They ask, if you're starting a franchise and build around one piece, are you taking Ja or are you taking Trey? Just wondering. Why the fuck would you ask this?
he's trolling. That's good.
I'm taking Luka.
Yes. If I am forced between two options, there is no third. Yeah, I'll go Ja.
I'll take Ja. Yeah, Ja'd be fun. I don't know how you would do like in the system where it's like very slow paced, but I mean, that's kind of the issue I think that we would see with that. All right, see, next question comes from the Der Texas Raptor Waffle. Dalton.
This has devolved into just like,
yeah, it's a lot.
Like kind of like the thing at the end of that movie where it's just like every character is kind of like just an amalgamation of characters.
Well, because Squish decided to Photoshop the Raptor, the Raptors Raptor in blue with the Mavs jersey. And so everybody, literally I see like five people like tweet with that avatar and I'm like, oh shit, who the fuck is this? This is Squish. Like, but yeah, he's one of them. Okay.
Yeah.
What is the 5-for-5 text channel in the Discord for? Also, why isn't everyone a Patreon yet? The 5 for 5. Okay, so the 5 for 5 tech channel. It was a really squishy idea. So basically, what the 5 for 5 is for the podcast is that if you pay us $5, mm-hmm. we give you a hard 5 minutes to talk about whatever you want on the podcast.
Correct.
The only stipulations is that you cannot be problematic, and you have to be available for when we record, which is generally on Sundays.
Correct.
So if Dalton, so I'm assuming you see that you paid the $5, which means that you are eligible to come on. And if you are, if you're that person who paid for that, I will, me or Squish or somebody will, you know, get with you about that.
Yes. Send us a DM.
Yeah. Why isn't everyone a Patreon yet? I don't know. You guys should definitely join up. We conversate during the games. Sometimes the game may be on, sometimes it may not be. We partnered with a really cool company about, you know, kind of doing like live watch parties, which is really cool. So yeah, if you're hearing this and you haven't joined up, I think it's like $1 to get the basic stuff, which is a lot of it actually. Right. I think the $2 tiers for like when we do these question things, your stuff is like your question is top priority no matter what.
Sure.
And I think the 5 for 5 is obviously, you know, the one where you get to actually be on the podcast for a hard 5 minutes. And we're working on like some sort of, you know, audio like thing to be like, okay, you're done. You know, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like the Oscar, like, you know, like the award ceremonies where it's like,
oh yeah, playing them off for sure.
Yeah. You're going too long, you know, whatever, stuff like that. So,
well, you heard it here first, folks. You can get yourself a hard 5 minutes on the Hoops and Hefeweizen podcast by joining us for the $5 Patreon. That's right. A hard 5 minutes, not a flaccid 5 minutes unless you decide to go that way.
I mean, we'll see. Anyway, that's disgusting.
Sure is.
Let's see. Al asks, now that everyone's healthy and our defense is stabilized at a high level, it really has stabilized. Holy shit. Uh-huh. What is the next step the Mavs need to take to become a real contender?
I mean, part of me just feels like I don't know if a move is the way to, it's just like, can we just get the same guys on the court consistently? Like, that's what I want to see as a, like, this season. Like, I want to see a week. Or I want to see 2 weeks of games and see if we can have which consistent performance that whole time. You know, not the ups and downs of like blown out and then blow somebody else out, blow out then somebody else. Like, that's what I don't want to see. And yeah. I mean, like, if Orlando's any indication of us like clicking on all cylinders, where like, you know, there's not a whole lot of assists going around, but it seems to pay you like some pretty good ball movement. Like, I can't stress enough like how surprised I am with how good Marquese Chris is in his limited minutes. Like, I don't remember him ever being a 3-point shooter, but he's hitting open shots. And like, I love his positioning on the court where he's not just a, you know, he's a big, but he's not just a guy that's clogging up the lane, but he's getting good rebounds. He's being kind of a stretch five, and doing it well. And the fact that he has an outside shot does draw the defense out a little bit. Like, he faked out, I want to say it was in New Orleans, maybe, seeing him, or no, it was against Memphis. Sorry, I was thinking of Adams, where Adams had to close out on him and he drove past him. And it's like, I thought about that. I'm like, Willie Cauley-Stein could not make that move. One, because he doesn't have an outside shot. Two, he's probably not pump faking. Three, he's not passing that well. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, shout out to Willie Cauley-Stein. I hope he does well. Like, I know, like, sounds like he's still involved in the Mavericks somehow. But like, it makes perfect sense why Marquese Chris has took that roster spot. He's just doing a lot more, and has a better skill set. So I mean, what do we do to be more of a contender? I think it's got to come down to Luka's decision making. I'm concerned. Like, I think him playing hero ball is just, I mean, that's kind of been his mode. And I think, like, if he makes, like, 5 less mistakes a game, then we're winning more games.
I feel that. I think the next step, you know, it might be a trade. It might be a small trade. Nothing too crazy. Just, like, maybe fortifying, you know, our bench a little more. I don't think we even have, like, the... we probably won't even try to make a big splashy trade, especially like Nico's first year as, you know, as the general manager.
I guess the big question for us is going to be like, all right, do we keep Jalen long term and pay the man, which I hope we do, because I just love him and I think he's awesome. It's just like, or do we trade him at probably the peak of his value right now?
Yeah. You know, like, so yeah, we got some decisions to make. Sure. I will say that one of the biggest steps I think is just making sure this offense is consistent, because the defense is there. It's getting the offense, you know, getting up to speed. So,
right.
Next question comes from Mavs Anon. If JB were to be traded, how much would you want for him? I did tweet yesterday that I would want four first round picks and the deed to Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Because we're going to the Knicks. I think they're similar to that, you know?
That's fair. yeah. I mean, to answer this on more of a basketball, like, we need a starter, you know, that's, I would want an upgrade where it's just like, all right, here's a guy that's our clear number, or maybe like a three or a something. And it just, I don't know if that person's available, but it's like it's someone that, you know, that's how it's like, it can't be for a young guy that's like figuring it out, you know, or, you know, it's not like, I don't know, it's not Miles Turner, you know what I mean? Like, that's not what I'm looking at here.
Miles Turner is the one I know that in the group chat we've been pretty high on. So, you know, that's just the one where I'm like, yeah, let's get this dude. Next question comes from Ramiro. Not a question, but imagine the league adds a game to All-Star Weekend featuring all the 10-day guys this year. Winning team gets all guaranteed contracts for the rest of the season. That'd be fucking dope, dude. It's almost like a G League showcase almost, you know, like, which is what they were trying to do before COVID fucking killed everybody.
What we got to do is we got to make that, like, that's the game that, like, we basically need to have like two G League teams that get all the 10-day contract guys.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, all right, cool. We have the Legends versus the, you know, Austin Spurs or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, whichever team wins that game, they get promoted into the league. And then the they get promoted. Yeah. And then I don't know who's the worst team in the league right now. Is it still Rockets?
Is it the Rockets? It might be still the Rockets. That'd be hilarious though.
I would love that.
I mean, I like this idea. Like, it just seems like, I don't know, it just seems cool as shit. But also, I feel like
the Magic get demoted.
That'd be hilarious. But like, yeah, by Mo Wagner. But see, the cool thing about the 10-day guys is that, you know, like, G League players make so little, but when they get called up for the 10-day, their salary increases, right? So like,
right,
guys who are making like 30K suddenly make like 90K. You know, or like 115K. It's like, that's a fucking super big jump. But I feel like, I don't know. I just feel like that's something that's really cool. But I feel like, you know, for the 10-day guys, like, I feel like everybody should go ahead and get that, you know, contract. You know, if they're in the showcase game, that would be happening all-star weekend. But
well, I mean, like it, you know, some guys really utilize their opportunity and can fill a role where they need to. I mean, that's exactly what Marquise Chriss did. You know?
Thank you, Marquise. Yeah. Let's see. Next question comes from a Mavs fan, to be honest. Great. Mavs lover. Nice. Asks, are the Mavs serious playoff championship contenders?
I mean, in the West, yeah. I don't see anyone that's really, I mean, we got Phoenix and Golden State and Utah.
They're kind of like that one tier where it's like they're
yeah,
above and beyond.
Absolutely. And like, Memphis, as hot as they are, I think that's gonna, I don't think they're the third best team in the West. Like, they're really good. Like, I'm not, like, they're got some good young talent. They're playoff bound. I don't know if they hold you know, their spot there. But I think that the West is wide open, you know. It's gonna just be a matter of can Maverick, like, I just want to see the Mavericks get past that first matchup in the playoffs, whatever that playoff matchup is. If it's Denver, it sounds like we're in good, like, we're in, yeah, a good, yeah, spot.
If it's Denver, yeah, I think we're, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Denver first round.
Yeah, I think Phoenix is like that. That's the Phoenix and the Warriors are the two teams to really beat. And we've beat the Warriors twice, which is weird.
is it though? I think our defense, but
I mean, and that's like the thing is that the boring stuff, and it goes for both both football and basketball. It's just like sometimes the boring stuff that doesn't look too flashy on the stat sheet is ultimately what translates best into into playoff ball where you're just seeing the same guys. If we can keep people close to 100 points a game, like then we have a shot, you know. That's a huge swing in difference because we've been a damn good defensive team. And it's funny, we have flipped side where we have flipped what our specialty is as a team. Which I don't know, does that our dip in offensive productivity, like part of that is injury and COVID, you know? Like, yeah. I think part of it's just like not having KP or Luka on the court for too many games.
Yep. Let's see. Next question comes from Hunter. Great question, Hunter. Will Mark Cuban's next trade be for an NFT, crypto stock, or an actual NBA player? And if it's an NBA player, do we want someone who's more defensive-minded or offensive-minded?
I'd say offensive-minded, but also... Yeah, yeah. Have we thought of maybe trading for an offensive NFT? Maybe we could get maybe like a Coutinho Mobley NFT or I'm just throwing out.
Yeah. I just want to see a monkey in a basketball jersey. That's what I want to see. That's exactly what those fucking monkeys. Jesus Christ. I don't know. Hopefully it's for an NBA player. We'll see. I agree though, like offensively, you know, offensive move, but I do want someone who can be coachable to be at least like okay on defense if they're not that good on defense already. Like, and I think our guys could do it. I think Sean Sweeney has done an amazing job with the defense, so he can figure something out, I think, with anybody. I mean, he's got Luka looking okay, like, you know, on defense. Next question comes from Ty. What makes Tim Hardaway's game so inconsistent, hot and cold? Is he worth getting rid of or holding on to?
I like his fire. I like how like he's in a shooting slump right now. And that's ultimately what's made him so inconsistent is that he just relies on his jump shot so much. And when his jump shot's falling, it's great. And when it's not, it's not. I think that's what gives him, or that's why he's been so inconsistent. And like this happens in the middle of a regular season amongst various players, like all the time. I feel like this isn't he's been bad. You know what I mean? It's more just like, he's been inefficient. And like, I think that's where your stat nerds start to like turn on a guy. Is like, if he's just inefficient, then he needs to go. It's like, well, there's ebbs and flows to this. For example, Reggie Bullock, it's actually kind of remarkable. If you go down his career, he is awful in the beginning of the season. Every season he's played, he is just, there is something about the beginning of the season where he just doesn't know how to shoot a three pointer. It is just terrible, terrible percentages. But by like the second half of the season, like once it, whatever the second half of the year is, you know, like it's like the 21-22 season, once it goes to 22, dude's on fire. He's so much more efficient in the second half of the season. And it's like consistent across his career. So I don't know. It's like, I would much rather, you know, us have some of these slumps, these shooting slumps in the middle to beginning of the season, because rather than towards the end, and we'll see if it corrects itself by then.
Yeah. I mean, now whether it be like, you know, keeping him,
I don't know. I'd much rather, I'm always for keep the guy. And I like seeing big moves in the off season because then you get to practice and gel together rather than mid season moves. And there's just like basically count the next seven games as pretty much like losses or weird wins. You know what I mean? Like, it's rare that we trade for a guy. He comes in, everybody loves him. He knows exactly where he needs to play. It's a perfect fit. And then he's super efficient. Like, it's just, it's rare that that happens. Yeah. It's always kind of like a awkward, like, adjustment period. And like, I don't know if we can, like, we're fifth in the standings right now. We're not too far back. And like, well, actually, what's weird is like there actually is a pretty huge drop off between four and five. Like,
there is, yeah,
like Utah is 4.5 games back from Phoenix, and we're 9 games back from Phoenix, and we're the 4 and 5 seed. That's a pretty big, that's a pretty staunch jump, in the standings. So we'll see. We will. Anyways, so, but I guess what I'm getting at is like if we make a huge adjustment now, like I don't think whatever we're doing, we're probably not holding still. We're either going to like, that's going to be either a boom bust where it's like, all right, cool. This new guy comes in, whoever he is a, you know, the perfect fit and unlocks the offense, which I just like those players. I just don't think are available. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not, it'd be different if like, I don't know, Bradley Beal was on the trade block. You know what I mean? Or someone of that ilk. Because I just don't think like, all right, if we trade for CJ McCollum, all of our offensive woes are gone. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
no, I totally get you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Next question comes from Emilio. What's the biggest reasons for the Mavs' massive defensive improvement?
That I can't actually tell you. That I'm going to be straight up on. And I haven't watched our, I've been catching up on highlights in order to do some of these pods. More on that in a week. I want to follow up on that question because yeah. I want to do a little bit more research on that.
I'm going to give you the very bullshit answer and say it's chemistry, which is not quantifiable. you know, I don't.
Yeah what's our chemistry rating on 2K?
I know. Great. I don't know. But, you know, it's one of those things where it just seems like, I don't know. I think a lot of it might be just because like chemistry and just like guys buying in to a new system, like in total. Again, those are not like quantifiable measures. If you'd like to see more quantifiable measures, I would definitely maybe like check out like Iztok Franco's stuff. Whenever he posts, go check his Twitter out. He posts amazing shit.
Good to know.
Stuff that makes me feel smarter about the game. So, yeah.
I like that.
Next question comes from Kurt. If you're Nico, who will you prioritize in the trade deadline? So any guys that we, you know, if I were Nico, I'm definitely like, even though like, you know, Rick's over there and stuff like that, I still would call Indiana because it seems like Miles Turner's in the doghouse right now.
Right.
You know, we got his mom like posting stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
So you know, I feel like, you know,
I do like the idea of a Longhorn playing in Dallas.
Yeah, you know, he's a Dallas kid, Dallas area kid. You know, went to you know UT and you know would be playing back in Dallas. That'd be cool. I think him in particular would be a probably my biggest, like, if I'm Nico, like I'm badgering the shit out of whoever the GM is for Indiana. You know, just like, hey, like, I know you have your old coach, but you know.
When I look for hypothetical trades, what I always look for is like teams that are underperforming that have a guy that I want, you know? And so like teams that I can already kind of just be like, even though there's guys that I want, they're probably just like just holding on to whatever assets they have. Like Rockets, who weren't going to trade with us anyways, Rockets, Thunder, Pistons, Magic, guys at the bottom of the tier, like they're just kind of holding fast until next offseason. You know what I mean? Like they're probably not looking to make huge moves. Like, you know, like the Pistons made a move for Bol Bol and then Bol Bol failed his physical, then they didn't take him. You know, that's the moves they're making. They're making like back of what, like they're still trying to figure out who their young guys are, you know what I mean? However, teams like the Pacers, the Hawks, Celtics, the Knicks, they're not completely out of it yet because like there's still like not a whole lot of difference between like there's still like play-in game potential. Now that I'm looking at some of these records, it's like is this the time to kind of see if Collins is available in Atlanta? Like, I don't know if we have anything.
That might be a good one to look at, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know? Like, I don't know if Atlanta would want to do a trade with us again, though, but
I doubt
we can see. We can see. I don't know. I heard that their GM got on the airwaves, you know, and was talking about the team, and I was like, wow, and was actually very candid. I was like, that's kind of crazy. Like,
what I'm not used to saying that.
Just like, you know, we need to be better, blah, blah. Like, you know, there's, if their trade does come up, there's, you know, there's a trade somewhere if it comes up. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. Like, it's weird seeing a GM that's like, you know, isn't being controlled by, you know, like a puppet. But,
you know, this doesn't involve the Mavs, but I heard a really good fake trade that I really liked for both teams. It was De'Aaron Fox for Jaylen Brown. And in some way.
Oh, shit.
So what that does for Sacramento is it gets them like a legit wing, like here's your number one option, right, with Brown. And then De'Aaron Fox goes to Celtics where like they need point guard help. They need like consistent guard play, which I guess like De'Aaron's kind of back and forth. There's a reason that the Kings are 18-27, but like but then like that also allows Halliburton and the other Mitchell, Davion Mitchell, more room to grow, and with a awesome wing guy to probably help them play better. I don't know. I thought that was like, man, I think that might make both teams better, but actually it would probably be a loss for the Celtics now that I think about it. But I just thought it was an interesting idea. And it's like, I don't know if there's anybody on the Knicks that I want.
Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's like the guy. RJ Barrett, obviously, but RJ Barrett's not going to get.
They're pretty stuck with him.
Let's see. Last question comes from Jay. He asks, this is a really good question to end off on. Do you think that the lady is committing a felony by stealing that Crunchwrap in the Taco Bell commercials?
Oh, yes.
You think that's a felony? You think so?
I mean, like, to equate chips to Crunchwrap, it's like, man, you are ignoring like 9 of the ingredients that make that it's not a fair trade at all. I mean, also, I'm trying to think of like when I've been with, I'm not super weird about like sharing food with a significant other because like more times than not, your guys' mouths have touched each other. So it's not like, you know, I don't care about sharing germs. You know what I mean? But also, I'm just taken back to like high school where like a friend would be like, hey, can I have a bite of this? And like, yeah, sure. And then they take the largest bite they possibly could. And then it's just like, cool, you just destroyed my meal. Great. Why did I show you an inkling of kindness? You took advantage of it. And put her in jail. And that's definitely not an over-exaggeration. It's like, you know, punishment fits the crime. You deserve time off of your life for biting too much into a $3 item.
You pay with your life. I mean, to be honest,
it's called the Crunchwrap Supreme for a reason, okay?
To be honest, though, whenever I am high and getting food, like, I do not want to share. So, you know, like, I don't care who it is. Like, I'm not sharing.
But I don't want to stop eating. My God. No, like, no. I will just, absolutely destroy anything in my path. Like, self-control goes out the window once the edibles kick in. Well, on that note, folks, greatly appreciate you guys listening. This has been, it's good to be back on the pod. I miss you guys. Let's start talking to Indiana and Portland about a 3-team trade so we can send DSJ to Rick Carlisle as a prank. And let's find some new trades. I mean, I don't know, trade ideas are fun. I'm happy to like try to, you know, play backseat GM. But all in all, I'm excited to see where these Mavericks go now that we're starting to get healthy and we're starting to click as an identity. Like, I never thought we'd be a defensive minded team, but hey, here we are. All things considered, guys, we greatly appreciate you guys listening. This is a good reminder to leave a review. Just be like, hey, these guys are goofy. Consider adding, joining us on Patreon. That would very helpful for us. We're doing less ad reads because of that, and we appreciate you guys and your support. I really, really, really appreciate any of the Mavs banter and conversation on Twitter. Mention me. Panda Hank. He tags me in every one of his highlights, and I actually appreciate it because I'm like, oh, yeah, he's got one up. And so he's definitely someone you want to follow. If you are a Mavs fan and you are wanting to just get good, succinct highlights, something that he does that you won't get off of like the NBA recaps is that he does he also posts like good highlight defensive plays that I think I really appreciate. So it's not just every shot that was made on the shot. It's a little bit more than that. So shout out Panda Hank. I appreciate you, dude. Ruben, you can follow him at Reddit Mavericks. You can check us out at @_MFFLs. Check us out at MFFLs.com. Like I said, check us out on Patreon. You can find me at @Don_Denham. This has been the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. Have a great rest of your week.
I'll see you guys later.